Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Susan Shand, and Anna Mateo. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
As the United States continues to struggle with COVID-19, Florida broke a U.S. record for the largest number of new cases in a single day. State officials reported more than 15,000 new infections on Sunday. That number broke New York's record of more than 12,000 cases in one day, set in April. Florida, however, is reporting far fewer deaths than New York did during the height of its crisis. COVID-19 deaths have been rising in the U.S., especially in the South and West. But the levels are still well below numbers recorded in April. Florida experienced a record-breaking week last week with 514 reported deaths. That is an average of 73 deaths a day. 3 weeks ago, the state averaged 30 deaths a day. Dr. Cindy Prince is a disease expert at the University of Florida. She told the Associated Press, "I really do think we could control this, and it's the human element that is so critical." She added, "It should be an effort of our country. We should be pulling together when we're in a crisis, and we're definitely not doing it." The record number of daily cases was reported one day after Florida's popular theme park, Walt Disney World, reopened. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ordered bars to close in an effort to slow the virus spread. But he has so far resisted calls for a statewide rule for people to wear face coverings in public. People have resisted face covering rules in other U.S. states, too. On Sunday, U.S. Health and Human Services Department official Brett Gerard said he thinks public face coverings are essential to help slow the virus. Gerard, a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, told ABC Television, "If we don't have that, we will not get control of the virus." President Donald Trump, a Republican, wore a face mask in public for the first time on Saturday. The Democratic Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, said Trump's action showed he might have crossed a bridge. Pelosi told CNN's State of the Union that she hopes the move means the president will change his attitude, which will be helpful in stopping the spread of the coronavirus. In Houston, Texas, two top Democratic officials called for the nation's fourth largest city to issue stay-at-home orders. Hospitals there are struggling with increasing numbers of sick patients. Around the world, other countries experiencing sharp increases in COVID-19 cases include India, South Africa, and Brazil. India has the most cases after the U.S. and Brazil. It has reported a record 28,637 cases in the past 24 hours. Officials announced a week-long lockdown beginning Tuesday in the Southern Technology Center of Bangalore. The city includes offices of top tech companies, including Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon. I'm Brian Lynn.
Critics are denouncing new media laws in Jammu and Kashmir state as measures to suppress government criticism. They also argue that the laws violate the country's constitution. India announced the new policy last month. It empowers officials to accredit the reporters and news organizations it considers acceptable. It also permits Indian officials to declare what is false news and what are incitements against the government. Kashmir and Jammu have been under tight controls for almost a year. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi seized power from the state government following fighting between Kashmiris and security forces. Thousands of people have been arrested in that period, including members of the press. The government also has severely restricted internet service in the area. Those 2G services are also shut down at least once or twice a week under the pretext of militant encounters or COVID-19, says Sheikh Shaukat Hussain, a Kashmiri human rights and international law expert. The new media policy targets Kashmir only. It gives the Department of Information and Public Relations the power to legally accuse media organizations and their employees of misinformation, fake news, plagiarism, and anti-national activities. Reporters and news groups accused of such wrongdoing can face a loss of accreditation and money from advertisers. Srinagar-based reporter Gowar Jilani told VOA the policy makes the DIPR the judge, jury, and executioner, and leads to self-censorship. Jilani and other reporters have been charged with glorifying terrorism in the Kashmir Valley and putting anti-national material on social media in recent months. They believe those charges will result in a denial of their accreditation. VOA asked the Jammu and Kashmir State Public Relations Director for comment on the new rules. The official did not answer the email. The government says it enacted the measures to stop Pakistani attempts to damage peace and security in Jammu and Kashmir. India accuses Pakistan of aiding terrorism in the state. Pakistan denies the accusations. The new policy began in May. The DIPR says it will consider media protests about its decisions. Several reporters said they were worried about the accreditation process, which includes investigations by security forces. News organizations need accreditation to be able to publish legally and to receive government advertising contracts, a large part of their financial security. The Indian government stopped advertisements to at least three large newspaper groups last year. Critics called the move likely retaliation for critical reports about the government. I'm Susan Shand.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. The aging process affects the human body in many ways. One thing that happens to all of us as we age is muscle loss.
Some experts say muscle loss begins around age 50, but others say it can start as early as age 30. The Harvard Health Publishing website notes that after age 30, you begin to lose as much as 3% to 5% of muscle every 10 years. They add that most men will lose about 30% of their muscle mass during their lifetimes.
Experts may not know exactly when muscle loss starts. But they do know this. Being inactive can speed up the process. Now, the good news. Lost muscles are not gone forever. Although muscle loss may be a natural part of aging, you can do some things to slow it down. It is better to start building muscles when you are younger and in good health. But it is never too late to start strength training. But what exactly is strength training?
Simply put, strength training is any activity that makes one's muscles stronger. We will talk about those exercises a little later. But first, let us talk about some of the health benefits of strength training. This information comes from Harvard Medical School and the Mayo Clinic, a nonprofit health and research organization in the United States. Here are reasons to start your strength training today.
Harvard University researchers say that strength training puts pressure on your bones, and that is a good thing. This pressure can increase the thickness or density of bones. This can reduce your risk of developing osteoporosis, a disease that weakens bones, making them easy to break. Osteoporosis affects men and women of all races. But the Mayo Clinic notes that white and Asian women, especially older women who are past menopause, are at highest risk.
Strength training can help you to take control of your weight and even lose weight. Muscle weighs more than fat, but muscle increases your metabolism, and a higher metabolism helps you burn more calories.
Strength training can improve your ability to do everyday activities. For example, having stronger muscles makes it easier to lift and move things. Strong muscles can improve your balance, so your risk of falling or getting injured may be lessened. As we age, this can greatly add to your quality of life.
Experts say strength training can reduce the problems of many chronic or long-term disorders, such as arthritis, back pain, heart disease, diabetes, and depression.
The Mayo Clinic says some research shows that regular strength training, when combined with other kinds of exercise, may help older adults think and learn better.
Resistance material is rubbery. When you pull on it, it gives your muscles resistance. There are many kinds of resistance material. They do not cost much and are often sold in sporting goods stores. Free weights, commonly used in strength training, are handheld weights. They are not connected to exercise equipment, so we call them free. We also call them barbells or dumbbells. If you do not have free weights, you can use any heavy object that is safe to lift.
Many gyms and health clubs have weightlifting or resistance machines. Some people also buy these machines and set them up at home, but they can cost a lot of money. Working with free weights or weightlifting machines can be riskier. If you are new to weight training, experts suggest working with a trainer or physical fitness specialist. This way, you will learn the right way to move and avoid injury. The Mayo Clinic has this warning for those wanting to start weight training. Its experts say you should talk with your doctor before beginning if you have a chronic health condition, are older than age 40, and have not been active recently.
If you are using weights, how much should you use? The right amount should tire muscles after 12 to 15 repetitions. You can slowly increase the amount as you get stronger. Also, listen to your body. If an exercise causes pain, stop the exercise. Experts say after the pain goes away, you can try the exercise again, but with a lower weight.
You do not have to use special exercise equipment or go to a gym to do strength training. You can use your own body weight as resistance. Exercises that use body weight as resistance are usually safer for beginners. They can also be easier on the body, and you can do them anywhere. Push-ups, plank poses, jumping jacks, side jumps, and squats or deep knee bends are great exercises for making muscles stronger.
The experts also suggest warming up before strength training. Cold muscles injure more easily than warm muscles. Walking for 5 to 10 minutes is enough to warm up your muscles. And give your muscles time to recover. They say to rest one full day between exercising each specific muscle group.
And do not forget that some foods help you build muscle. The body breaks down protein into amino acids, which it uses to build muscle. So experts say eat a little healthy protein with each meal. Foods such as chicken, salmon, beans, and yogurt. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report for this week. I'm Ana Mateo.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about James Garfield. He was the 20th president of the United States. Garfield is not one of the best-known presidents. He served only 100 days before he was shot. 11 weeks later, he died from his wounds. But even during Garfield's short time in office, historians say his presidency had problems.
Like the president before him, Rutherford B. Hayes, Garfield was from the state of Ohio. Garfield's father died when he was very young. The future president was raised largely by his mother, two older sisters, and a brother. Among all the presidents, Garfield probably was the most poor in his early years. Growing up, he worked as a farmer, a sailor, a carpenter, a teacher, and a janitor. Finally, he earned a position as a student at Williams College in western Massachusetts. Garfield loved learning. He eventually taught at a school called the Eclectic Institute. Later, he became its president. Garfield married one of his students at the Eclectic Institute, Lucretia Rudolph. She became a teacher, too. The future president and his wife went on to have seven children. Four sons and a daughter survived to adulthood. In time, Garfield moved out of education and into law and politics. He was an anti-slavery activist who did not think the southern states had a right to withdraw from the Union. When the Civil War came, Garfield welcomed it. During the war, Garfield served in the military as an officer. He won awards for his bravery. While still a young man, he was appointed to the position of Major General. His image as a war hero was so great that Garfield did not have to campaign for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was elected on his name alone. Garfield's way of thinking changed while he was in Congress. He began as one of the most extreme radical Republicans. He wanted to punish former Confederate officers severely. But in time, Garfield softened his positions. He learned to compromise with other groups in order to achieve results for his state. But he did not always represent the interests of workers or farmers in Ohio. Garfield supported business interests that wanted to limit the country's money supply. He opposed labor unions and cooperative farm programs, called the Grange. Garfield also became linked to a corruption case. He accepted stock shares in a company that was building a railroad across the country. In exchange, Garfield and other top officials eased government rules so businessmen could earn higher profits for their work. Although Garfield's political career sometimes drew criticism, he continued to rise in government. When Garfield became president in March 1881, he did not have what Americans call a mandate, the approval of a large part of the population. Instead, he needed to make compromises with lawmakers to help win their support. As a result, the first weeks of his presidency were a political struggle to appoint members to his cabinet of advisors. Garfield also clashed with a powerful senator from New York State. The senator wanted to continue the tradition of permitting senators to choose who got government jobs in their states. But President Garfield wanted to put someone who shared his own beliefs in some of the top positions in New York. Finally, the senator resigned in protest. But the issue set the tone for Garfield's short time in office. Elected officials battled each other for advantages and financial gain. Officials in Garfield's party were accused of corruption and wrongdoing. And before Garfield could really suggest any ideas for government reform, he was shot by someone seeking a government job in exchange for his political support. On July 2, 1881, fewer than 4 months after he took office, Garfield was leaving for a short trip with two of his sons. They were going to take a train to Williams, the college Garfield had attended and loved. The president was supposed to give a speech there. But as he walked through the train station, a man with a gun stepped behind Garfield and shot the president twice. One bullet touched Garfield's arm. The other went into his lower back. Garfield did not die immediately. Instead, he was taken back to the White House, where doctors tried to remove the bullet. One of the men who tried was Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. Bell tried to find the bullet by using a device like a metal detector that he had invented. But the springs on Garfield's bed interfered. Neither Bell nor the doctors were able to remove the bullet. And, some historians say, their efforts may have made the situation worse. Garfield suffered for more than 2 months. At one point, he seemed to be recovering. But on September 19th, he finally died. He was 49 years old. As for the gunman, he was captured shortly after the shooting. His name was Charles Guiteau. Guiteau was a lawyer with little money, but many mental problems. During the election of 1880, he had first supported the candidacy of former President Ulysses S. Grant. When Garfield won the Republican nomination instead, Guiteau supported him. Guiteau did not have an official role in the election campaign, and Garfield did not know him. But over time, Guiteau came to believe that he was responsible for Garfield winning the presidency. As a result, Guiteau thought Garfield owed him a government job. Guiteau wrote the president several letters requesting positions as a diplomat in Europe. When Garfield did not write back, Guiteau grew angry. He believed Garfield was ruining the Republican Party and destroying the country. For weeks, Guiteau followed the president and plotted to kill him. When he succeeded in shooting Garfield, Guiteau believed he had performed a great service. At his trial, a jury decided that Guiteau was sane. In other words, he was not too mentally unbalanced to be responsible for his crime. Almost a year after he shot the president, Guiteau himself was hanged. Thus, the most dramatic event in James Garfield's presidency came to an end. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.